Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
All right, everybody. Hi, Benny.
Hi, you got them all out?
I got them all out.
All right, good.
Pretty good. We have got shows today about the angels. Angels are calling. Angels are calling. I got to tell you, Benny, I'm really excited that I'm going to be talking with Tricia McCannon today. And the reason I love that I'm going to talk with her is because I am zooming in on her latest book, The Angelic Origins of the Soul. But the part of it that I'm really zooming in on, and I'm going to talk with her about it in a minute, is discovering your divine purpose. Because 2019, as many of you have heard me say, like a lot, with Jupiter kind of coming home to Sagittarius for 13 months, starting in November, you are already feeling it. This is an energy that no planet in retrograde can control. Is not going to happen. This is it. It is the year. We're seeing truth. As a matter of fact, Benny, one of the major networks changed its tagline. I was watching it this morning on King. This morning on King 5, right? Because the snow, right? And I'm getting ready to go over to the pass. So I'm watching it, and all of a sudden I'm watching, I'm like, well, wait a minute. What is that tagline? Blah, blah, blah. Something about truth. And so today, how true are we being to ourselves? How true are we being? You know, when we look at the nature of soul, the landscapes of heaven, when we're looking at the purpose behind our incarnation here today, what is it that would have us some days be the windshield and other days be the bug? Today, Tricia is joining me here today, renowned clairvoyant teacher, mystical symbolist, but more than that, she has written some of the most amazing books. And what I love about the time that she and I get to spend together, although, you know, they are every once in a while, I open up a book, I'm fascinated by how much work she puts into what she shares with us, but more importantly, how this becomes a way for us to understand who we are in this earth skin and who we can become. Fasten your seatbelts today. Probably going to open up the phone lines. Got a copy of a book to give away. But more than that, get ready for the ready. Tricia, it's great to have you.
Oh, Dr. Pat, it is always such a joy to be on your show. And you are so delightful and funny. I love your comment about, are we the bug or the windshield?
I want to be you when I grow up. I got to tell you, here I am, and I know I've said this before, like six times already this year. I have more publishers and publicists and PR people talking about writing a book. Pat, you got to write a book. You got to write 15 years. You've interviewed like 9,000 people. You got to write a book. I'm like, I'm launching the expansion of our network this year to 10 channels. Writing a book is daunting. This book that you, this like all your other books, you, this is so filled with insight and solutions and possibilities. How did you do this?
Well, thank you so much. You know, this is my fourth book, and, you know, because we've done other shows,
yeah.
First one was really a little more autobiographical about how I've been a clairvoyant since I was a child, and how when I was 8 and I lived across from a great forest, I began to see, you know, the divas and the elementals, and then an angel came and begin to teach me about the great chain of being and how the light and sound of God are stepped down through the various dimensions and to eventually come into the third dimension. And, hey, this made perfect sense to me. You know, I was eight. I really got it through direct transmission. And so growing up, you know, I was very much on the hunt for trying to pull back the veils and ask the deeper questions and find the real answers, not just the ones, you know, we are given in Sunday school or the ones we're given in science or the ones we're given in regular education. Although I think all those are important, I felt like that there was a deeper piece behind it. And so when I was 19, as you know, I was contacted by the Viraga Masters, which are the great masters who have learned to really transcend the ambition and the things of this world. And their focus is very much on those inner planes. And they taught the ancient science of soul travel, which is the ability all of us have to begin to shift our consciousness and to travel into the inner realms while we're still in the physical body. And I was like, you know, hot diggity dog, this is the path for me. I don't have to believe something and then wait till I die to find out. I can actually find out while I'm living here. And so at 19, I became initiated by them. And then as the years went on, I wound up, you know, being contacted by other esoteric inner plane groups, the priestesses of Isis when I was 27, beginning to learn about the divine feminine and this whole hidden chapter of history that's been hidden from most of us. And, you know, I talk about that in my third book, Return of the Divine Sophia. And then, of course, you know, I was raised Christian, you know, in the deep south here. I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, my family was very traditional Christian, and I always thought Jesus was great, but I could never sort of reconcile the hellfire, brimstone, and damnation story with the beautiful message that Jesus was bringing about the God of forgiveness and love. So, you know, I was always in pursuit of understanding both in terms of my studies in the outer planes, but also in the inner planes where I was really working with great masters through my own inner experiences.
Well, you know what? I can't believe this, because one of the things, I'm sitting here, you're talking, and I'm not even touching my phone, and my phone just goes berserk. It just absolutely, did you hear the phone?
I sure did.
So it's got to be like, this has got to be either the angels coming in to say, yeah, we got to have more of that. I've never had that happen to me before. OMG.
Well, but you know, I've had visitations by angels and masters and spiritual teachers my whole life. And like many people, you know, I've prayed and like I didn't feel like anybody would show up a lot of the time. And then other times when I least expected it, they would show up with a message. Or like when I was 30, an angel appeared when I first went to Stonehenge and really unveiled the Akashic records. And, of course, as you know, that's the soul record of all of us. And so from that point on, I found that I could access the soul records of anybody that I met at will. And so I've done over 6,000 readings for people around the world. And for the first 4 years, I was going back maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years in that person's history. And then I made a leap to where I was going back, you know, 20,000 years, 30,000, 40. Sometimes I would see my client actually come in on a spaceship, let's say during the time of Atlantis, when it was in a high civilization. And I began to pull the thread and really track the soul back to and the other planet, and then to, and I started thinking, well, where was the soul before that planet, before that? And eventually, it took me many years, probably about 10 years, I eventually, my gift increased to the point that I was able to actually access their angelic origin, which is what I think of as their creational matrix or their soul matrix. And what I discovered to my utter and complete astonishment, because this is very different from what I had been taught in Sunday school, was that each and every one of us, no matter how amnesiac we are or, you know, forgetful or screwed up or feel like we're so imperfect, each one of us actually originates from one of the nine orders of the angels. And we begin our journey billions of years ago, coming down from that ocean of love and mercy where all things emanate from, we take on a soul body in the seventh dimension, a spiritual, etheric, or Buddhic body in the sixth dimension, and at those levels, we are still operating as angels. We don't have an ego. We do have, you know, growing level of individuation. And, of course, individuation is created through experience. So for many millions or billions of years, each one of us, before we ever begin to descend into the fifth dimension or the fourth dimension and the third, where we do have an ego, where we do have a mental body, each and every one of us went through a process of being in divine service, where we could hear the music of the spheres, we knew where to go, what to do, and how to serve. And so once I discovered that, I began to ask the question, well, wait a minute, if we started off as angels, what the heck happened?
Yeah, exactly.
How did we get so forgetful and screwed up and confused and going down, you know, these crazy paths of addiction and, you know, meanness and cruelty and war and violence? I mean, what could have possibly happened to have caused that? So then I began to look at what happened when the soul went into the fifth dimension. And this was a big aha, because basically all of us have much more than just a physical body. We're layered with many different bodies. We have an emotional self or an emotional body. We have an astral self, which many people experience when they dream, where they're an astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
Have a causal self, which is the body that records everything that happens to us, and it's kind of like a library of our soul records. We have a mental body, you know, even though some of us aren't always using our mind in the best way, it is a very beautiful, refined mechanism that weighs, judges, analyzes, separates, and it, as much as it can do, is much more limited than the soul body. The soul body, it is directly transmittive. It's able to be in 360 degrees and all dimensional levels, and that's how the angels operate, so that you can literally receive a complete download, holographic download, in an instant through direct transmission. So the soul body has a lot more power than the mental body, but the mental body is one that we get when we're in the fifth dimension. We get the causal body, we get the mental body, and we get the ego. And one of the things that I discovered was embedded within the ego structure, when we decide that we finally want to begin to descend into the fourth and the third dimension, it's like we're so vibrationally light, we can't really get down to this level of density and separation without, you know, some weight. It's like a jockey that needs additional pounds because they're too light for the horse. I often think of it like they, you know, they say, who wants to go on this amazing adventure down there, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll? And we're like, huh, what's that? We don't even know what that is. And they're like, it's amazing, beautiful nature, flora and fauna, great food. Who wants to sign up? And we're like, pick me, we want to do it. And then they say, well, step right up, young soul. And it's like an army issue adikarma. And so yeah. I don't really think it has personal. It's like there's basically, I identify in the book three of the core, let us say, lies that most humans believe at the deepest subconscious level. And these are lies like, I'm not worthy to be loved, which causes sadness. I'm alone down here, which causes fear, or I have been abandoned, or I've been betrayed, which causes anger. And they only give us one of these to start, but of course, over time, over our many lifetimes, experience can cause us to form the beliefs around the other two. Those are easier to get rid of, though, because they weren't laid into the ego in the beginning. But of course, none of those are true. You know, if God is in everything, if we are living in the divine bubble where the creator is, you know, not outside of creation, but also inside of creation, then the divine spark is in everyone and everything. So we couldn't really be alone even if we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But most of us are oblivious to that fact, and we don't see the sacred in the flowers, in the nature, in the cat, in the dog, in the horse, in the clouds, you know. So,
You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about here, too, is that if we are born and come into this world as angels, I want to get back to something you said. The question then is, what happens? And I want to get back to this idea of the evolution of the soul, because how many times have you worked with people or talked with people and gotten to that place in conversation where we're just not understanding? You know, in your book, you know, you say that the physical world is an excellent place to learn about patience, compassion, suffering, priorities, and the consequences of our actions. But it's also a very tough training ground. And I want to talk to you about that, because in the evolution of the soul, let me speak for myself. I have entered this world really feeling exactly what you said. And along the way, there have been some very challenging points in time of my life. But I have not given up on this idea that there is a divine purpose. Even if your mom commits suicide, you're homeless at 17 and arrested at 19, even though that may happen, right? So let's talk about this. How many rings of fire does an individual have to jump through?
Oh, my God, what a beautiful poetic question.
Yes, I want to know that. Now, let me put the caveat. Jump through to the other side, untouched by the flame.
Wow. Well, I think you definitely have a turn of phrase. You know, I think that the one of the things that Viragi say is that learning is never ending. No matter how high we achieve in our consciousness, there's always something else for us to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, as you say, the lessons that we encounter in the third dimension are particularly difficult because, you know, as the masters talk about, they say that each of the dimensional planes has certain laws that have to be obeyed. In the third dimension down here, it's the densest. We have 48 laws of physics. I'm talking about physical laws like, you know, you put your hand in the fire, you're pretty much going to burn it. Now, there are people who can transcend that, like by walking on coals or things like that, but that's because they've transcended third-dimensional consciousness in order to do it. They put themselves into a higher vibrational state, just like the Filipino healers, you know, who can put their hands to people's bodies. Most of us can't put our hand through a wall. That's one of the laws of physics. But those Filipino healers that are authentic, they somehow are able to vibrate their hands at a higher frequency so it can pass through matter. So in the third dimension, we have 48 laws. In the fourth, we have 24 laws. In the fifth, we have 12 laws. In the sixth, we have 6 laws. And in the seventh dimension, we have only 3 laws. So down here, it's a tough school because even though the law of cause and effect, you know, or karma, same thing, is in effect, many times we don't see, you know, the person who's a criminal or a bully or does something horrible, we don't always see how it boomerangs back on them. As we move up in the dimensions and the vibration increases, we're able to not be able to get away with that stuff because it boomerangs back much faster. But as you notice, in this time of Earth change, as the vibration of the planet seems to be subtly shifting up year after year, many times the effects of karma come back to us faster. You know, we think a negative thought, and, you know, within hours or minutes or days, it'll come back and hit us in the face. We think a positive thought, it'll come back to us as a grace or blessing. So this is one of the things that as we move up, we're able to, you know, maybe learn our lessons a little faster. But, of course, if we haven't gone in and done any emotional work on ourselves, and there's a lot of debris in our energy field, emotional debris, you know, anger, hurt, resentment, vengeance, jealousy, envy, greed, lust, addiction, avarice. It makes it harder for us to live a happy life because, you know, because we're, it's like, imagine with the chakras, that the chakras right. are like these wonderful wheels that are turning, and when they're clear, they work beautifully just like a machine, and they open up your central nervous system to be able to connect with your higher self, and then you allow your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, you know, and Pingala to move up. You can get into your heart when you need to. You can get into your third eye when you need to. You can get into your power center around the navel when you need to. But if you've got debris in the way, that energy tries to rise, and it hits a ceiling. It hits a block.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the reasons why at this critical time in Earth history, where we are at the end of a cycle of 26,000 years, we're coming up to a graduation day, whether that day is, you know, in a week or 25 years from now. But we are coming up to graduation day. So it's a time for people, I think, to begin to really find out the beautiful being that they truly are underneath a lot of the garbage that they've accumulated.
Oh, no, we have a fancy word for that.
What was Benny, that?
We got a fancy word for that. It's called crust. Crust. Underneath the crust.
I love that.
That's crust busting.
Exactly.
That's what the show was called 15 years ago when I started, because I was that. I mean, here I was, right, Tricia? Here I was. I lost my job in 1991, 92, after almost 25 years. Decided to go back to school very intuitively. Actually, didn't really remember deciding. I just, all of a sudden, one day I'm back in school. Went to school in New York, then moved to Seattle. People said, how did you move here? I don't know. Packed up a truck and moved. Ended up in school in California. And when I was done, I was so depressed. I was like, why did you have me study the consequences of broken promises for 8 years? Why? Only to then say, I am not going back into corporate America. And I want to ask you, in the evolution and what you write in your book, I believe that I had a few angels guiding me, one, to go back to school, and then two, to be faced with that decision of how was I going to live the next part of my life? Was I going to get the big paycheck? Or was I going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars? Tell me.
Yeah, I'm sure you're dead on. You know, our higher self is very wise. And sometimes the only way the higher self can get the ego's attention, and we all have an ego. I mean, the ego itself is not a bad thing. I just want to make that clear.
That's right. No.
The ego is very useful down here in the physical world because it allows us to say things like, oh, this is my car. This is my bill I have to pay. You know, this is my body, you know. And so my guides tell me, you know, it's not like you're trying to destroy or get rid of the ego, but if you can think of it like somebody driving a carriage of horses, if the ego's in the front seat with the reins and the higher self or the soul is in the back seat going, Mamma Mia, he never listens to me, okay? Then many times the ego has to take many different paths, make a lot of mistakes, turn around several times, get off the track in order to get on to their purpose. And I always say if you can invite the higher self in, really make that connection with the higher self so that the higher self is sitting on the buckboard seat beside the ego, and maybe in the beginning the ego doesn't want to let go. The higher self will say, hey, turn here, turn here. And the ego will say, well, I think I want to go over there because there's more fame, money, and glory, okay? And so, you know, in the beginning, sometimes the ego won't listen. But then, you know, gently, if the ego discovers that maybe the higher self had a bigger perspective, a better idea that would create more happiness, maybe the ego starts listening more and going, I'm not sure why I'm going over here. It's not really logical because they offered me more money for that corporate job, but I'm doing it anyway. And then, you know, then the ego begins to trust the soul, and eventually the whole idea is that the ego gives the reins to the soul. The soul's driving the carriage.
The bus. The soul is driving the bus.
Or the bus. And the ego can jump in and say, hey, I wanted more money. I wanted more fame. I wanted more glory. I wanted more recognition. I wanted whatever they want. I wanted that dress or that suit.
Money. I wanted more money.
Yes. And the higher self can say, yes, little ego, I hear you. I know you're needing attention. I know you're not feeling worthy, or you're feeling alone, or you're feeling like other people have more than you, or whatever the story is. The soul can become the parent, the wise parent to the ego, and make a deal and say, listen, you know, right now is not the time for you to get the new car, but if we can work and pay off some bills and get our credit rating up, we'll get that new car next year. I promise. Okay? So there can be a negotiation.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's meant to be.
Well, yeah, let's do this. I want to talk to you about this negotiation when we come back. Tricia McCannon joining me here today. Listen, when we come back, are you ready? Write this down. We're going to do it. The 9-billion-year-old soul. The 9 billion, like B, like B-I-L, billion. 9 billion years old and more. That soul. What does that look like? What does that feel like? And when we get there, why is it sometimes we think, even there, we may not be worthy of God's love? Why do we think that? I think that's the ego on steroids, but I'm going to let Tricia talk about that when we come back. Tricia, before we go to break, how can people get a copy of this fabulous book? Oh, my God, it's amazing. And I love the pictures. How can they do that, and how can they find out more about you?
Well, my website is my name, www.tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, it's that spelling, Tricia McCannon, just like it sounds, Mac, M-C-C-A-N-N-O-N, Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S, TrishaMcCannonSpeaks.com. And my books, all four of my books are there, about 30 of my DVDs, my 12 online mystery school programs are there. And I want to say it's a great website. However, I'm in the process of designing a brand new site that should be up in March, where I'm going to be expanding the mystery school and offering some wonderful, wonderful online programs for people who have been begging me for years.
Yep.
To get some of these things up.
I'm telling you, this is the year. Jupiter in Sagittarius, 13 months. This is the year. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that 9-billion-year-old soul. And what does it mean to start to dismantle? See, I love that dis word, dismantle. See, dismantling is when you bust through the crust, everybody. And we're taking your calls. I know you're going to want to chat with Tricia right here because she's got some things to say to you. 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. Yeah, the 9-billion-year-old soul and the dis. We'll be right back.
Are you new to playing with the law of attraction, or a seasoned pro looking for an easy and organized way to monitor your co-creation endeavors as you draw them from the immaterial planes into your physical reality? Then join me over at goldenotter.us for bi-monthly new and full moon rituals, where we plant seeds of intention, then harvest the fruits of our desires as part of a dynamic community in the members-only Lunar Manifestations Forum. I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, and I can't wait to meet you.
Join the new Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Learn to live in the light and unveil the authentic you with A Time of Healing Radio with me, Felice Diana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in every third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as I help listeners understand sacred fusion energy and how to connect to the spirit that fuels the very life we live. Explore the journey of spiritual transcendence and ultimately discover the path to peace, love, purpose, and wholeness. For more information, visit atimeofhealing.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Benny, what was the year of that song?
Oh, good question.
I'd
have to look it up. I don't know at the top of my head.
Okay, because I think I got a little story about that.
Okay. Do you want to start? You start, and then I'll
look. Yeah. Okay. I remember that song like when I was begging for money in a Port Authority.
Okay. Stevie Wonder, 89. No, wait. That's a different.
That's 89.
Sorry, I jumped down to the Red Hot Chili Peppers on accident.
89. I was just getting ready.
68.
I was an executive in 89.
68. Sorry.
That's what I thought. 68.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That. That's oh, fine. My God. Here we go.
Oops.
I'm having a hot flash. welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Yeah. Trisha's in the house. Trisha, okay. Before we, I'm taking calls. So I think we're going to maybe do like a mini reading. I don't know. But this is like all about your purpose, your soul purpose and evolution. Ever wonder where you are in the evolution of soul? Before we get talking about the billion year old soul, how can people find out more about you again? And we actually going to give a copy away of Dialogues with the Angels. Tell us about that, Trisha.
Yeah, so people can certainly get in touch with me and find all four of my books, my DVDs, probably got about 30 of those, the online mystery school, a lot of my programs at my website, which is my name, Trisha McCannon, and then the word speak, because I speak at a lot of conferences.
Speaks, so, that's S-P-E-A-K-S.
Yes, .com.
Yeah.
Trisha McCannon, speaks.com. And, you know, you'll see them. And
I got them. I know.
Yeah, Dialogues with Angels. I actually was speaking about that a little bit earlier. That book really was the first. And as you know, The Lost Years and Secret Teachings of Jesus was the second. Turn of the Divine Sophia was the third. And then this is the fourth one, which, you know, is, as you say, very much about the landscapes of heaven, the angelic origins of the soul, and discovering our divine purpose. So Dialogues with Angels is really the book I always tell people to start with, because it's an easy read. You can read it in 2 or 3 days, and it really picks up. You've got angels and masters and fairies and all sorts of miracles and amazing things in it, and people tell me that they laugh and cry, and then when it's over, they start over and start reading it all over again. So it's a really wonderful book that will teach you a lot about how you too can begin to call in the masters, connect with your higher self, and to make that shift in your life where you're beginning to experience these inner realms for yourself.
Yeah, and you know, for those of you that may or may not have gotten the other books, the book that I love them all, but what a revelation, Jesus, the explosive story of the 30 lost years and the ancient mystery religions. What a breakthrough book that is, at least in my opinion. Yeah.
I was in the cave for 3 years writing it.
Yeah, no, I know.
And the masters were in my house day and night. Jesus, actually, I would never have written that book if Jesus had actually not appeared to me in my office and asked me to do it. And it was such a profound experience. I have to tell you, it was a life changer for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always thought he was great, but, you know, I was kind of like, well, hey, he's just one of many avatars. And I think he is one of many avatars, but I also think that he happened to be a direct emanation of the divine masculine with and perfectly blended the masculine and feminine together in a message of love and self-empowerment that, you know, forgiveness, that if we would all really live by those words, that the kingdom of heaven is within, forgiveness is the key, you would want to be done too, the world would be a better place. So I love him.
I do, too. And I had an early on childhood experience with him when I was age 6. And so part of this, though, is you have these experiences in you and you really have a deep inner sense of what that love from somebody like Jesus is all about, that Christ consciousness that we refer to that now. And then you went on to talk about the relationship between Jesus, Isis, and Mary Magdalene. And of course, you know, I think many are waiting for the Dead Sea Scrolls, as well as the Q Gospel to be brought to the surface so that a lot of things fall into place or not for people. Now, we have somebody calling in that would like to have a reading or get a sense of what might be going on with her. But before we do, Benny, before we go to the phones, I just want to touch a little bit. No, maybe we should take the caller, and this would help answer this question. There is, as you talk about, the 9 billion year old soul in us. And then that is followed by dismantling. And I'm just going to leave it at that, dismantling, because I love the word dismantle. Dismantling illusion. Dismantling the illusion of separation, dismantling the fact that there has to be a mastery that only the schools can teach us to have a real connection, right? Dismantling the literal pillage of each other's soul and power, dismantling that, dismantling the lack of truth, you know, for fear that the revelation may set us free. All of the dismantling, and these are all my words because that's what I gleaned for the better part of this book, comes on the heels of you providing us with a way that when Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, that dismantling, we pull out our super glue and we know how to put it back together. So I want to talk about that, but I want to do it in the context of one of our fabulous listeners. So Benny, who do we have?
Yeah, we'll take Nels calling in from Seattle. Hi, Nels. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nels.
Hello. How are you today, Pat?
Oh, Nels, man, I'm doing awesome. How about you?
I'm really well. Enjoying I'm working in a 7-story apartment complex at Cap Hill with beautiful views of Lake Union and all the snow and all that stuff.
I love living up there, man. I really did. And by the way, you're going to get a copy of the book. So Benny's already got you covered. I love living up there.
Thank you.
I first moved to Seattle, I was kind of lost and didn't have a job and didn't quite get to school yet. And I had my Harley Davidson and my Collie on Capitol Hill. I spent a year having coffee. What do you think of that?
Oh, well, you're in the right city for that. Definitely.
No kidding. Well, I want to introduce you to my friend, Tricia, and, what can we help you with today? Because I don't know where Trisha is going to go with any of this, but then again, I never do. How can we help you today, Nels?
Well, to be honest with you, that's why I call, because I'm very intrigued about talking about 9 billion year old soul.
Yes.
And also talking with Freddie Silva a couple of months ago about going back 30,000-40,000 years in wow. history, human history on this planet.
Yeah.
So I'm calling because I just was guided to call and find out what Tricia has to say.
Yeah, Tricia, what do you got to say to Nels?
So first off, what's your name?
Nels Peterson, N-E-L-S.
Nice to meet you, Nels. It's a pleasure. You're in Seattle. I'm in Atlanta. You're in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Capitol Hill. Ma'am. So well, you're in hot Atlanta.
First off, I know Freddie, and he's a love. He's smart. He's funny. He's a wonderful graphic designer, and he's an excellent researcher, and he has some great books himself on sacred temples. And it's been some years since I've seen Freddie, but he's just a wonderful guy. So lovely to hear, you know, hear he's still out there. I haven't seen him in a while. You know, what I found through this whole process was that basically there's six, you could sort of course, everyone's someplace in the continuum, but you can basically divide the soul evolution into basically six stages. There are beginner souls that are maybe 2 to 3 billion years old, that are very beautiful, very pure. They've come from the higher realms more recently, but they don't have good life skills. They're very innocent. They don't recognize evil. They're kind of gullible. They really should not be incarnating in complicated, sophisticated, societies. They really are best in nature. They're usually highly creative. And if they have a master soul or an advanced soul as a parent, like a sheltering tree, then like a beautiful little flower, they can really blossom. Then you have young souls that are 3 to 4 billion years old. These souls are people who've gotten down here, and they've been like, oh, my God, this is a scary place, completely unpredictable. There's lions and tigers and bears, and who knows when one's going to come eat me. So they are busy making lots of rules and regulations and curfews to keep themselves safe. They tend to band together in numbers. Even though they tend to be very good people, they're much more limited because they're driven by fear. So these are our fundamentalists in every religion of the world. And it's not just Christianity. You know, you can take, you know, any religion. Because basically they're trying to use those rules to keep themselves safe. Mm-hmm. And as long as you obey all the rules, then, you know, they feel like there's power in numbers, and so they won't vote you off the island. But many times, advanced souls and master souls, they want to go befriend the lions and tigers and bears. They're not being driven by fear, so they get voted off the island by the fundamentalists. Then you have the intermediate souls that are 4 to 5 billion years, or 5.5 billion. And these souls have figured out there's a game going on down here from their point of view. It's called winners and losers, or dog-eat-dog, and they want to be sure to be the winner, no matter who they have to basically sacrifice or screw over to win. So they're all about service to self, and their major focus is power. So you can have petty criminals. You can have rich, powerful people who are basically self-serving. You know, you can look around and see. They can be charming, rich, powerful, charismatic, but they're basically manipulative, and they're manipulating the young souls with fear and the beginner souls with fear, too. And your beginner souls don't have the discernment to figure out they're being manipulated, and mostly the young don't either. But they're creating lots of karma, these guys, because they're really not acting, you know, in a win-win dynamic. It's a win-lose. Then you have advanced souls that start about 5.5 billion and go to 7 billion. These are, I think, you know, people, a lot of us are advanced souls. A lot of people who would listen to this show would be advanced or master souls. Advanced souls are working for a win-win dynamic. You know, they're not perfect. They're on the process. Sometimes they slip and make a mistake or tell a lie or shoplift or something, but basically they have a strong moral compass. They're trying to do what's right, and they're self-reflective enough to correct. And by around 6.25 billion years, that kind of soul becomes interested in humanitarian efforts, what they can give back to the world. So these are people who are setting up charities. They're trying to save the dolphins and the whales and the rivers and the mountains and the children. And, you know, they're trying to do good for all of us. And thank goodness they're out there. Then you have the master souls that start about 7 to 9 billion years. Half of those souls never even marry because they are here on a mission. And it doesn't mean, again, you know, just add water, poof, instant master. No, they're in process like everybody else. They're not perfect either. They're in process. But they have a deep sense of purpose, and they really can't get married to someone that's going to pull them off the purpose, because then they'll really be unhappy with themselves. And then you have the avatars, or the bodhisattvas. These souls are about 9 billion up. These souls don't have to come back to this planet. And in fact, some of the master souls don't have to. But because of their love of their fellow man and their compassion for the suffering that, you know, ignorance and disconnection with spirit causes, they will wind up volunteering to come back to a planet like Earth in order to help humanity. And so that's kind of a little overview. And, you know, I actually have all this laid out kind of in the book, The Angelic Origins of the Soul, where we talk about kind of like what the lesson is, what their strength is, what their weakness is, and how they can get to the next level.
Mm.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes, it certainly does, especially the latter part. And just to share with you, I'm in the midst of planning my move from Seattle to Sedona, Arizona, where I can work more with folks and help healing.
Well, it sounds to me you're either late-level advanced or someplace in the master program. And let me just say, you know, when we say master, we're not, when we talk about masters, you and I are usually talking about the avatars, the 9 billion and up. You know, there are many of us that are in the master program that are still doing very masterful, important work, but we're still human. You know, we're dealing with mortgages, we're dealing with cars, we're still in the world, we're in society, we're not just meditating in a cave. So, you know,
all right, thank God.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, if you think about the path of the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, which is something I teach a lot about in my mystery school, that path, you know, there's a lot to say about that path. There's each one of those spheres or Sephiroths are kind of like individual paths that you can take. You know, you can take a lifetime where you're the path of the scholar, or a lifetime where you're the path of the hedonist. But what Jesus was teaching was the middle path, and that's what Buddha taught. That's what Thoth taught. He called it the ancient way. Jesus called it the way. Mary Magdalene and Jesus called it the way of the chalice, because the bowl of the chalice is the feminine. The stem of the chalice is the masculine. We ground it in the world, and we open ourselves to be filled with spirit. So that middle path is a way of, you know, the bottom is Malkuth. It's the physical world. Then there's the emotional world, Yasod, or the astral world. You can't even get on the wheel unless you can feel your emotions. Then there's the heart, which is Tipperoth. That's right up in the middle where Jesus' heart, if you lay a person's body over the Tree of Life, it hits it right at the heart. And then that brings us to a connection with our higher self, surrender of the ego, which brings us into Gnosis. And Gnosis, of course, is that hidden sphere where the mind would be. They call it Da'at in the Tree of Life. And so through, he's basically saying, you know, all these paths are fine, you know, but you have to find a balance between the mental and the emotional or the hedonistic. You have to find a balance between expansion and contraction, between generosity and, you know, discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you follow the middle path, which is the path of love, the path of the heart, and surrender to that higher heart, then it will bring you to Gnosis and connection with your true self. So, you know, there's a lot to say about these subjects.
Wow.
I'm pretty passionate about them.
Absolutely lovely.
It's wonderful, isn't it, Nils? I think that there is so much here to really lean into. The book is fabulous, by the way. But, you know, wow, you know, congratulations to you on your upcoming move, right?
When are you moving?
Thank you, dear.
When are you moving?
Pardon me?
When are you?
It looks like first of I'm renting a home, so I was just talking to him this morning, possibly first of March, mid March or so, to be down there by the solstice.
Nice.
You know, in Sedona, I'm actually going to be in Sedona doing a conference in at the Equinox. It's forgive me, I can't even remember the name of the conference, but it's at the major spiritual center, and it's right like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the week of the Equinox. So you might look up spiritual centers in Sedona and find out what the big spiritual center is and call them and ask them if they have an event going on. I'm going to be for 3 days, so it would be wonderful to meet you in person.
That would be awesome.
Absolutely, same here. Yeah, that would be absolutely, yes, very awesome. Would love to meet you, and I already have an idea where that center is. And so thank you so much for the information. It resonates quite amazingly well, given the age involved here.
Sedona is a major vortex.
Yeah, it is.
And the Indians used to go there for pilgrimages because the energies were so strong that, you know, it's very holistic. So whatever you think, positively it expands, negatively all your karma comes back into your face. So, you know, just be aware that the whole mechanism of that kind of sacred place is to give you an opportunity to become self-reflective enough to discover what your blocks might be, clear your blocks, so you can get on with your mission or your deeper purpose.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's the reasoning behind it, and to help out others. And I've brought family and friends there, and it's amazing to see how everyone responds to the energy vortex there. It's never been the same, and it's always extraordinary.
It's actually life-changing. Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much. Wow, what a great show. Tricia, thank you for today. I want to end with this from the book and then ask you again for your website and also for your personal message. In the book, you actually have something from the great Chief Seattle in the book. And it's this. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. So I want to thank you so much. This is a fabulous book. And I'd like you to please let folks know your website again. And I would like to ask you your personal message. What would you like to leave us with today?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. And clearly, Chief Seattle was one of those great masters and that incarnated in the Native American race. And they, of course, have incarnated in every race and every culture of the world. It's always my honor to have a chance to do a show like this, Pat, with someone who's so fun and joyful and so much in her mission and so conscious. So I always love being on with you. And
thank you.
I really look forward to getting to do it again. You know, I have been creating, probably in May, I'm going to be launching a new chapter of my Phoenix Fire Mystery School Lodge. I have the first 12 discourses that are 100 to 180 pages each online. But I'm going to start teaching some live classes with Zoom and actually having some, like, two or three retreats a year for people who really want to learn more about all of these mysteries. So this past year, I've been creating a whole series of very powerful online programs on the Goddess, on Mary Magdalene, on the Egyptian mysteries, on the return of the Lords of Light and the great cycles of time and where we are. And so, you know, if you go to my website, just send me an email at TrishaMcKinnonSpeaks@yahoo.com. Ask to be put on the newsletter list, and we'll let you know when we launch the new website in March and when we wind up launching this new chapter of the Mystery School if it's something that you guys are interested in. So thank you for having me. My website, again, is TrishaMcKinnonSpeaks.com, and the email to send things to would be TrishaMcKinnonSpeaks@yahoo.com. So thanks for having me, Pat. What a pleasure, you and Benny.
Thank you so very much. Everybody, this is fabulous. What a great book. Patricia, you rock. Thank you so much. We're going to take a short break, everyone. We're not done talking about angels yet. We'll be right back.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.